Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to Brett and Cliff's podcast. Is that it?
Is that what it's called? Ah, yeah, that's what it's called.
Brett and Cliff's podcast does what it says on the tin.
It does indeed.
Like your cider.
Exactly. Get you pissed.
We're just going to take everything down to its bare bones, just call it by the original names for everything. So this is Brett and Cliff's podcast, and I'm talking to you on a microphone.
And I'm the person named Brett.
Oh, okay. Well, good to see that you still have the name your parents gave you.
I still
you.
Have the name. I
Unlike
am
like the antiques boy from Terry Wogan in the 80s.
That's not a very good start, is it, Cliff? You see, you said, right, you don't want to get in any trouble with this, and you've immediately dove in, haven't you? You've immediately just jumped in.
Right. When we were kids, we were obsessed with the antiques boy from Terry Wogan.
We certainly were. Now, I was thinking about this, Cliff, because we were talking about it on a daily basis.
Yes. Every time we had to pay for anything, there was always, well, my mummy gave me a 50p.
I bought this for £1, Wogan.
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 Now,
the thing is, I was thinking about it, right? I mean, well, obviously must have seen it at the time because there was no YouTube shit. Back in the 90s was the one we were talking about this. It did. It made an imprint. There was none of this, these compilation, the best moments of the 80s or whatever. Those type of shows, was there?
It must have been on like things. Best of Wogan Roundup, so because Wogan was so big, wasn't it?
It was.
I mean, we definitely didn't see George Best being pissed on it, but we've seen George Best being pissed on it, haven't we?
But that's sort of, we didn't specifically talk about that as kids, though, did we?
We did
talk about the antique stealer, didn't we?
Quite a lot, yeah.
About that. We did. And the thing is, I just couldn't work out how we'd both seen it at the same time. And obviously, it made such an imprint on me, hadn't it, Cliff?
Did it ever make you want to take up antiques?
Yes, because I was as well of the opinion of antiques should have a bit of wear and tear. That's all he says.
You think he was a very good antiques spotter?
Well, he certainly talked a good game, didn't he?
We're saying he, which might not, well, it's definitely not the correct.
It's not the case now.
For them now, because
this
kid at the time is now Lauren Harries, who's been on TV plenty, was on Celebrity Big Brother and stuff like that. So has transitioned to a female, which is obviously absolutely fine. But also added a bit of intrigue to us as we got older and realized that happened because honestly, when she was a kid, we were obsessed, absolutely obsessed.
And I mean, well, I don't think we're the only ones, were we? I mean, it was quite the impact.
I think so, and I think the nation was taken with this child, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, quite a lot like what happens now, because it was a weird spectacle, wasn't it? It was strange. And I think
you
that's
know what,
why...
Cliff? Yeah, you could say that it was a weird spectacle. A very small child talking about antiques, dressed in a little dicky bow, curly yeah. hair, speaking like yeah. Margaret Thatcher.
And but was on Oprah, like was on Wogan a lot. But if you look yeah. now for clips, if you had just happened to stumble across some clips, this is like an Oprah interview, which is mental, I think.
I haven't seen that one, Cliff. I haven't seen that one.
Oh, well.
What I have seen is the one where he's also on Wogan, and he obviously she now refers to Wogan as Wogan.
Yes.
Well, you wouldn't know, would you, Wogan? Also, and this obviously is your sort of thing, this particular show, because on one side of Wogan and the antique stealer is Frank Skinner. Yep. On the other side, Jeff Goldblum. Now, he looks rather miffed. He doesn't know what's going on.
Goldblum.
Does he? Maybe, and I think that's to his credit.
I think... I mean, Lauren Harris has had her problems as an adult.
Yeah.
And I wonder whether it started with that meeting.
Well, with Goldblum, do you think that's what
you know? You know, we've always despised him, haven't we?
Well, you have. You have. doesn't Frank Skinner say that if he had have said those things when he was a kid, he would have gotten a cuff around the ear?
A cuff around the ear, yeah. Because it's like... It's what a foursome that is. I mean, I'm a big fan of Frank Skinner. I was obsessed with James Charles Harris, and mm-hmm. I'm confused about Jeff Goldblum, and Wogan, of course, needs no
introduction. Now, I have, you know, in the meantime, I have been watching a few of Wogan's interviews, and I have to say, why is he an interviewer? Because he doesn't want to be there, does he? He's so like, I don't know, I was looking through and there's so many celebrities gone on Wogan and fell out with them, had fights with them, which is what the quiz is about, actually. So why did the BBC think he was suited to that job? Because he really isn't, is he?
There was millions and millions of people watching it every week.
We used to watch it. Yeah, I mean, it was. And was he there just to wind up the guests, do you think?
I think it's part of it. Like, he's a strange character, isn't he? If you think about, like, his career and his demeanour and stuff. And, of course, the Stonehenge haircut.
Of course, the Stonehenge haircut. I mean, not to take anything away from him, he's a brilliant broadcaster and that. But his interviewing technique... He's almost sarcastic in the way that he's asking the questions.
Very sarcastic, yeah. Very.
And it gets people's backs up.
Especially with the younger set.
Especially with the younger set. I don't want to delve into it too much because it's all about the questions and stuff, but I have been looking through some of his interviews and it's just odd, isn't it? It's just an odd way to interview people. Wait, he's got a little twinkle in his eye, hasn't he?
He's always got a twinkle in his eye. I think he was huge, wasn't he? I can't say as a kid, like, I ever really
was it Blankety Blank? He was on Blankety Blank.
Of course, it's a very long, thin microphone.
That's right, yes. Uh-huh. So he was on that, wasn't he? Obviously, he's big in radio, wasn't he?
I wish I'd watched more Wogan now we're talking about him, but I mean, it's my fault that I haven't because I sprung a surprise on you.
He did, obviously.
But, I mean, it was the chat show was on for 10 years, 131 episodes, right? Just named after him, just Terry Wogan.
Wogan. I mean, he took on Parkinson's role, didn't he?
Well, what do you think when the comparisons with Parkinson? I find Parkinson very pompous.
Do you? I think possibly in the 70s interviews and that. Where he's interviewing Helen Mirren, and he's been, you know, pretty rude to Helen Mirren, isn't he? In that particular interview, talking about her breasts and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
Yes, definitely in that sense. Well, not when he's sitting across somebody like, you know, Oliver Reed or something like that. I don't think he'd dare, would he, Parkinson?
Parkinson. and my good friend Muhammad Ali. He loves it. Absolutely loves it.
Those interviews are amazing, though. The Ali interviews with Parkinson, aren't they? For
obviously reasons. Billy Connolly.
Yeah.
Of course, let's not forget O'Connor in this conversation.
Of course, how can you forget O'Connor? Who obviously can't deal with Oliver Reed, can he? Because he comes over with his jug.
I mean, he can't deal with Freddie Starr.
Can I deal with Freddie Starr?
Freddie Starr talking
he couldn't come with Joe Pasquale, could he? That was the first Pasquale time I saw him, I think.
Ran rings around him.
He did.
So Morgan, it ran until 1992, and then it lost 4 million viewers by 1991, and it moved to Friday night. Instead of what was it, a Thursday night it was on, I think.
I think so.
And anyway,
I think Morgan couldn't be bothered for some of it, so they had like loads of guest presenters and kind of things.
Morgan, just for different people.
It's called Morgan, exactly, which is a bit odd. So, like, one week you'd have like Gloria Hunnifer doing it or something, wouldn't you? Which would be a bit odd.
Well, if you read about it in 1991, he was like, "Well, if it's so shit, like, just stop it then, and I'll fuck off." And BBC were like, "No, we'll move it to Friday and you can keep doing it." And apparently, like, when he left, so that last year, he definitely couldn't give a fuck because he'd already said it, he didn't want to do it and have to leave. And then he had to go at the BBC afterwards.
I read that he had to go about the way they handled it or something like that.
But then it was replaced by Eldorado. Which is something else.
Damn, you put all my questions up.
Did we do an Eldorado episode?
I haven't done Eldorado.
I've definitely watched an episode of it recently.
More recently. That's simply for your pleasure. That's
for my pleasure.
It is. I vaguely remember Eldorado. I think, much like everybody else, I watched one episode.
Okay.
And just didn't watch anything else.
Of course, it had the great Jesse Birdsall in it. We all big fans of him, of course. Morgan was just massive. And of course, outside of the talk show, Morgan, he was a radio broadcaster. He was the Eurovision Song Contest sarcasm.
That is one of the things that I think you got us onto the Euro, because we never watched Eurovision as a family or whatever, but you got us into watching it, which is odd, isn't it? Because do you still like Eurovision?
No, I don't, but I only used to like watching it because some of the acts are insane, and Terry Wogan's presenting of it was hilarious, and that's the only reasons I liked it. Like, I wasn't that bothered. I didn't really want to see who won or cheer for England or whatever it is.
No, nothing like that. But you were the first person to sort of put us on the crazy sort of acts.
Remember the guy with the hair the colour of meat?
The colour of meat, exactly. what colour is your hair? Why, it's a meat colour in a German accent.
Amazing.
But yeah, and you were also the first person to tell us that he was increasingly getting pissed throughout the show. And I thought, well, I've definitely got to watch this now. Do you know what I mean? If he's getting drunk all the way through, then I've got to. And he was, again, it's the sarcasm kind of stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sarcastic, which probably he definitely couldn't get away with it now. But he's being sarcastic about other countries and things like that.
Yeah,
and I don't know if you've watched it recently, but Graham Norton tries to do
it's too much
something similar,
it's too much.
But he can't get away with it.
He's a bit more catty, isn't he?
He's very much more catty, exactly.
And of course,
rather than scathingly sarcastic like Morgan.
Morgan did Children in Need, of course, for many a year.
Yes,
and again, a show that is littered with hilarious moments, not really meant to be, but. Always like really ridiculous parts of that. Not that you could watch it for the 12 hours or whatever.
You can't watch it for the duration, can you? Is that the one where, or was that the sport relief one where Bob Mortimer had a boxing fight? Was it Les Dennis or someone?
Les Dennis, I think, yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
And Ricky Gervais as well. He had a fight with someone.
Did he?
I can't remember who Bob Mortimer was fighting. I think it was Les Dennis, though, wasn't it?
Okay, yeah, I think so. That was, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, he narrated the children's cartoon Stop It and Tidy Up. Were you aware of that one?
I think so. Remind us what that was about then?
It was two, just weird shapes. One of them was called Stop It and one of them was called Tidy Up. And he narrated it. It was about, not dropping litter and stuff like that.
Right.
It was a bit like Trapdoor. So I think it was the same people that did that.
Oh, like stop motion.
Yeah. Like the two fellas were like that.
Right. Okay.
Anyway, I remember.
I mean, people love him for his radio and stuff like that, isn't it? It's like, was it, what radio? Is it Radio 2 or something?
He was the Radio 2 morning presenter, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
I still just love his hair more than anything else, I think.
It's just an odd thing to look back on if you watch his interviews. Obviously, he's, the way that he's so sarcastic, and he's almost there just to get the guests backs up. Where I think Parkinson, apart from the instances that we've just talked about, like Helen Mirren and that, he was there to kind of be the friend, but also challenge them at the same time as well. The thing that I've noticed, if you watch 70s and 80s chat shows back, right?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if it's from the UK or if it's from America. Nowadays, you watch Graham Norton, the celebrities are on to talk about their new film or their new album or whatever.
Yeah.
But in the 70s and the 80s, it wasn't like that at all. They're not necessarily there promoting anything.
No, they're not necessarily.
They're there to talk to that person.
Yeah.
And find out what their views are, their opinions on things.
Yeah, there's like,
and that's far more interesting.
You look at all those ones with John Lennon on and some other like kind of counterculture people. You've always got a fairly square presenter, but probably a bit more liberal because they're a journalist. Or would have been a journalist before they did that. That person, whether it's John Lennon or Billy Connolly or someone like that, depending on where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody with very rigid views on the subject that they're liberal on. So you often end up with Oliver Reed like fucking sticking his tongue out and pulling his pants down with some prude like.
Have you seen the one where he deliberately pulls? No, I'm putting the thing in this thing. Picking me nails. Have you seen the one where Oliver Reed deliberately falls off the chair?
Yes. I mean, it's funny, like Oliver Reed, he's probably a really horrible guy, but out of all of these boorish alcoholics or whatever, I feel like it was a lot of it was an act as well. So
Of course it was. He's just a fool, wasn't he?
Have you ever seen, there's a clip, and I'll send it to you if you haven't seen it. There's like, I don't know, like an ITV reporter goes to his house to learn how to be an actor. And he's telling them how to be an actor.
It's one, and he's keep calling them greatest boy.
It's one of the greatest.
And they're both laughing, but Oliver Reed looks like he's going to kill him.
Looks like he hates him, yeah.
I've seen that. Because I went down the rabbit hole of watching Oliver Reed stuff and that. This was off, and I don't know if this is something that you're aware of, a documentary about when Saddam Hussein employed Oliver Reed to go to Iraq.
It's amazing. That's a great story.
It is. So basically, Oliver Reed was being paid by Saddam Hussein to make this epic sort of historical Iraqi war film.
Uh-huh.
And obviously, that's not a good idea, is it? So then after watching that, I kind of went down the rabbit hole of watching the Oliver Reed stuff. One of them was the one that you're talking about where he's teaching that.
They're like by a fireplace, very 70s and like brown suits.
Yeah. he's saying to him, do it in an accent and all that kind of stuff.
That's great.
Oh, that's hilarious, that, if anybody gets a chance to see it.
Yeah.
One of the ones obviously was the jug one, where he's singing Wild Thing and that.
Wild Thing.
Yeah.
Is that on The Word? What does he do on The Word?
No, I'm sure that's on Des O'Connor. On The Word, he's pissed as a fart as well.
His pants keep coming down on one of them, like every time he stands up.
Yeah.
He's a huge guy as well. He must have been very intimidating.
He's a monster of a man. He must have been. There was another story about hay or something. Can I remember the story about the hay? I think it was on a podcast that I was listening to. And there was this producer or something who was being horrible to all the people who were working on the film. So Oliver Reed, to get this producer back, he cut like bits of his hair off. Right? Oh no, it wasn't, the producer was there being horrible to this lady.
Okay.
And he cut his hair off and he put it in a hat or something like that. And yeah, this lady knocked his hat off and like the hair that he had cut off just went all over, and Oliver Reed made a right show of how she'd knocked all of his hair off his head or whatever, just to embarrass this sort of producer guy to be nicer to her or something.
Okay.
Insane, man.
Yeah, absolutely. He was a Wogan staple. The George Best one, of course, is George Best one's horrible, actually. There's some with Ringo Starr as well, like on, I can't remember,
and McCartney, Wogan, yeah,
or Parkinson. But there's one with Ringo Starr's really drunk and it's awful. Like, it's really,
yeah.
It might be both of them, actually. It's like two people who are really pissed and like they don't know what they're saying. It's like they're like the audience is like laughing at it. It's just, it's really sad. It's not funny. Yeah. It's like not nice at all, really, when you watch it now.
Is that the one? I think that's a different talk show. I can't remember who was doing that one, actually. But I think it was Michael Aspel.
It's an Aspel one, is it?
It's an Aspel one. We've just forgot about it, actually. We've left the Aspel out, haven't we? But it's George Harrison and Ringo Starr together. That one where Ringo was pissed, I think.
George Harrison never says that anyway on interviews. Like, he's a terrible interviewee. Like, also doesn't want to be there. He must have, like, been there because Ringo had an album out or something. He's always used to, like, go out and try and get him, help him
sometimes,
out.
You know, sometimes he can be quite revealing, though. There's another documentary that I watched recently about handmade films. I don't know if you've seen that one.
I haven't seen the documentary, though. No.
Interesting. Very good. Got ripped off again, yeah. So it's all about that, and it's all about how Harrison just basically wanted, like, artists, much like the Apple thing, he just wanted artists to be able to express themselves. So if somebody didn't have the money for the film, he would provide it or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's good at, you know, in the interviews throughout that, because he's quite candid about why he's doing it and all that kind of thing. And obviously he's talking about the guy that ripped him off, that solicitor guy, isn't it?
Dennis O'Dell, is it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Uh-huh, I think that's him. So, yeah.
Well, talking about the Beatles, what do you think of the new Beatles song?
Well, when I first listened to it, the start of it's class, I think. It's like the hook, the start, isn't it?
Well, that's like the demo, I think, like, the Lennon part that already existed was that piano bit at the beginning.
So I like the start. I mean, I like the song, but the video was one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life. I can't believe that Peter Jackson did that video.
I know, it's weird, isn't it? But I can only think that it's like on purpose, because if you think about generationally, there's probably people, it's like, it's made for TikTok and shit like that. It can't be made like for art's sake. It must be made for people who haven't seen that shit before and they can share it and all of that stuff. It can't. It's so bad. Like, I hate it. It's so cringy. Like, as
it is.
And I don't know. It's weird. Peter Jackson, who, I mean, I don't really love all Peter Jackson's films, but what he did with Get Back was absolutely like genius, like amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is so cheesy and cringy. It must be on purpose for just a marketing stunt rather than like art. But I think the song, it's a grower. Like, you sing along to it, it gets stuck in your head for sure. And what they've done with McCartney's backing vocals and stuff is really sympathetic to Lennon. And But
is it, I've got a question for you, because you're going to know more about this than me.
Yeah.
Is the AI involved in some way in the song?
I don't think so, other than like cleaning up the instruments that Lennon had. Playing. So if you listen to the original demo, which has been out for years and years and years, it's really like murky. So they use what has been used for ages in it before people started referring to like AI in this way. So it's been used for ages to like separate that voice from the
Lennon's voice.
But yeah, the voice is still very low in the mix, isn't it? And very quite weak, I think, amongst all of it. But yeah, I think like it will stay in my head if I've listened to it and I'll sing along to it. But doesn't feel like a Beatles song. I don't think. Well, they tried to record it for the anthology, so that was going to be the new Beatles song,
wasn't it?
On the third anthology volume of the CDs, and George Harrison said it was fucking shit, and he didn't want anything to do with it. So he said, "We've tried it; it's still shit." So I don't think we should bring it out. And then, obviously, Mac Ayres being like, "Nope, let's just do it anyway." So
it's always a good day when you hear a new Beatles song, isn't it?
There's not much Harrison on it. It's just acoustic guitar, I think, Mike, but not much. So the only thing I'm not sure. Go on. Sorry.
The only thing is, somebody should have told Ringo not to wear a T-shirt of his own face on that video. That's not advisable, is it, Mike?
What I'm not sure of now is like what in that is from 1994 or whatever, and what has been done now. I haven't really looked into it that much. But I think they probably started again. They kept some of Harrison's guitar. Anyway,
you can hear the Harrison's guitar in there, can't you?
Yeah, you can, but there's not really like backing vocals or solos, obviously not him. Have you listened to any of the Red and Blue albums?
The new ones?
Yeah. Because the blue one, right?
Because they've all re-released them, haven't they, with extra tracks or something?
Yeah, so that's one of the extra tracks. Just makes sense because it's 66 to 70, and that was recorded by John Lennon in 1979 or something like that. So don't think it makes much sense. But,
that's just trying to get people to buy them. Again. I've got the Red and Blue albums, the original vinyl ones anyway.
Well, the new record is that £80 for the records. It's absolutely insane.
It's scandalous.
But Giles Martin has remixed a bunch of stuff on the Red album, like the early songs. So they're a bit different. And on the Blue album, he's only done a few because a lot of that stuff's been remixed recently anyway. But one of them is good old Brown Shoe.
You love the old Brown Shoe, don't you?
My favorite.
You do?
And Hey Bulldog as well. So two of my favorites.
Oh, well, Hey Bulldog's amazing. Absolutely class. I love that song. That's wonderful.
Anyway.
But is it worth buying an £80?
No, not at all. Of course not.
Is it? When you've already got all this stuff.
I don't have the Blue album. Actually, I've never had it. I only had the Red one. I think we've talked about this before. Anyway.
Well, I got given them. My lovely wife bought us a few Christmases ago. You came around that Christmas cliff, if you remember. You were well oiled, but there was a fella from work who
There was a Prince one,
wasn't there? a couple of BGs. There's loads.
Oh, listen to BGs. Well?
Yeah, there was BGs in there as well. There was loads of stuff, so I've got loads of like original vinyls and stuff. But a lot of them gladly were the Beatles, and just unfortunate that someone's drew little pictures all over the Sergeant Pepper one. Like some kids had it, but there you go. What can you do? It was free.
I don't know, Brett. You've teased us with a Wogan quiz for long enough.
Well, so you want the Wogan quiz, do you?
Desperate for it.
Desperate for it, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I'll need to find it first. Oh, I've got it, Cliff. Well, I think you might get the first question right. Okay.
Okay.
So, which TV soap replaced Wogan in 1992?
Oh, I think it's El Dorado.
I think that, you know what? You're right about that, Cliff. Well done. Excellent. Which, you're going to get all these right. Which former footballer appeared on the show Pissed?
Georgie Best.
Georgie Best. Well done. Who appeared in a turquoise?
Mm-hmm.
I'll say it that way. Tracksuit, claiming to be the son of Godhead.
Is it David Icke, the goalkeeper?
It's David Icke, the goalkeeper. Yes, well done. Well done. A wonderful tracksuit.
Yeah, I think
that
added
to his ridicule, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The tracksuit.
He's ready for anything.
He was. I mean, if he needed to run out of the studio, if he was hounded out for his beliefs, then he could just go super quick, couldn't he? So, yeah. Who came on somersaulting and screaming and that?
Nicolas Cage.
Yes.
Woo!
Have you seen that?
Yeah, it's outrageous.
What cocaine can do to people.
I know, it's absolutely insane. Leather jacket on and that.
Yeah. If anybody hasn't seen that, you'll have to have a look at that one as well, because that's it's something to behold, isn't it? Morgan's aghast.
No, where to put myself.
Which actor came on and said nout?
Chevy Chase.
Yes. Well, hey, you know your Wogan stuff, don't you? Yeah.
Well, I certainly do. I know Chevy Chase stuff. Oh, that interesting character.
He's another strange one, isn't he? Not
very strange.
Apparently, a lot of actors don't like him.
Yeah,
Not many people like him, yeah. For various reasons. Which fashion designer threatened to walk off if the audience didn't stop laughing at her clothes?
I don't know this for sure, but I'm going to say Vivienne Westwood.
Well, that is correct. Well done. You've got one left, and if you get this last one, then you've got them all right, Cliff.
It's a full house.
It's a full house. Bob's full house. No, that's a different person. Which actress pretended to forget Wogan's name, irritating him?
Oh, I don't know it. I don't know it.
Oh, no. Cliff. I'll give you some clues. Obviously, it's an actress.
Mm-hmm.
A very fit actress. That's the other clue.
From the 80s.
Yeah, 70s, 80s.
Very fit.
I think
actress.
We've talked about her on a previous one. And the one that we talked about was the Tom Jones one.
Tom Jones?
Yeah.
I can't remember anything about that. But I'm going to say Bridget Nielsen.
Oh, it's close. It's Raquel Welsh.
Raquel Welsh, of course. Another friend of Ringo Starr.
There you go. Yeah. So Wogan irritated her and she decided to say that she forgot his name. She wasn't happy with got him back. But you did very well there, didn't you?
Didn't get the full house. I think you swapped the last question out for a harder one.
I don't think I did. But there you go. Hey, we've got music in that, haven't we?
Yeah, what? Which one are we going with for this one?
This one, we've got music from a London band called Maze. Mm-hmm. And this is the new single, Actions. And it was out on the 27th of October, this one.
All right. Okay. Lovely little song, this. Very, very nice. Yes. Like it. All right. Well, cheers, Brett. Cheers to Weird Antiques Child.
Antiques.
And Wogan, of course. And Stop It. And Tidy Up. And
the Beatles.
And the Beatles. And Ringles.
And AI. And what AI overlords.
Uh-huh. Right. So, cheers, Maze, as well. See you later. See you a bit. Hurrah.
See you later.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.